the prophets. Feeling lost? Don't know where to turn. Need a breakthrough? Well, it's here, my friend. Welcome to the prophets. Your host, Prophet Jason Leppard. Alrighty, guys. Good evening, good evening. I need you to share tonight. Share like you never did before. Listen, I need you most of all to keep us in your prayers, too. We are facing battles after battles, but good evening, everyone. Good evening. But I want to talk about, if I can get this pulled up tonight, I want to talk about a thing called faith. You know, a lot of people say they have faith, but I'm wondering if they really do. And by the way, guys, you can get this. I'm recording this on our Rodecaster, so we got a studio here in Blue Ridge. I'm recording this live. We're recording this live, but we're also in. You can go back and listen to the podcast on www.thekingdomradio.com, or you can go on our live radio. Our live radio, guys, I'm not taking no live visitors right now, okay? Not tonight, okay? Sorry. God has instructed me to do something tonight, and I got to do it. Anyways, very, I'm not sorry about that, but, you know, I just got to do what God's telling me to do tonight. Maybe some other time, I don't know. Let me get this going right here, guys. It's supposed to be. Anyways, I want to talk about faith tonight, and you can go on and listen to the podcast. You can share it with a friend or whatever. We got a book coming out called Naked and Not Ashamed. Naked and Not Ashamed. Y'all keep us in prayer for the book. I'm in the middle of writing a book, Naked and Not Ashamed, my first book I ever wrote. So our 24-hour radio station, keep that in your prayers too. We got a 24-hour radio station. You can download it on The Kingdom. We also got an app coming to on God Saving Ministries. We got an app coming, guys. I'm working on it. They're trying to get it up live. We got an app, so you can go to on our website with the app and everything. But anyways, we also got, coming at the first of the year, pray this in, guys. We got these live cameras sitting right here ready to go, a Canon camera ready to go. We're ready to shoot live here from this studio. Got the studio set up the way God wants it set up. God's running this ministry. I'm not. I'm just a part of what he's doing. Anyways, let's talk about faith tonight. You want to? Let's talk about faith. Faith. I know a lot of people say, you know, I got faith, you got faith. Do we really have faith? No, I'm talking about, do we really have faith? And this thing is, I'm trying to look this up on my Bible software. We gave $3,000 for $3,300. I'm trying to look this up, guys, but this is that's okay. That's all right. Faith. Faith. What is faith? Can anybody tell me what is faith tonight? Faith, the Bible says, is substance things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you something, what gives us the evidence. When we do see something, what the evidence gives us is the Word of God. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, but by the Word of God. So if faith cometh by hearing, but the faith is evidence of such stuff, evidence, but the evidence of things unseen. But my Bible recalls me that God said, I will give faith. Where will I find faith in the earth when I come back? See, a lot of people say they have faith, but their words do not match their actions. See, I don't listen to your words. You can be all, oh, you're an apostle. You're my apostle. No. I need to see that I'm your prophet. I need to see that I'm the bishop of your soul. I need to see this. I don't need to hear it. You see, that's why Peter went to Jesus, and he said, Jesus told him, he said, Peter, do you lovest thou me? He said, then go feed my sheep. See, a lot of Christians need to do a little less talk and a lot more action. See, I'm tired of hearing people say they have faith, but they don't have none. Let me tell you something. I have seen his eyes. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in 1999. He took me out of my body, and I saw the Lord. Come on now. I saw him. I saw him at the foot of my bed staring at me one night. I know God has a big nose because he showed me. So I had the evidence, but I also had the proof. But let me tell you what's coming upon the earth. God is coming back to the earth. Believe it or not, he's coming back. He said, every knee shall bow. Every eye shall behold him. Let me tell you something. There's going to come a day, whether you believe or not, come on, it's more better for you to believe and not see, but there's going to come a day that God said, I'm going to come back and you're going to see me in the flesh. Come on, somebody. But let me tell you something. Everybody says flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but I tell you tonight, tell me where Enoch is. Come on now. Tell me where Enoch is. If flesh and blood in Thessalonians says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, then you tell me where, do you tell me where Elijah is? Can you tell me? And you tell me where Jesus' body is. Can you tell me where Moses' body is? It's in heaven, my friend. It said flesh and blood will not enter in, but I tell you what can enter in. This body of flesh can enter the kingdom of heaven, but the blood can't. You know why? Because the blood was cre-up down here, but it's not cre-upty up there. Why do you think Jesus had to shed his blood to make it into heaven? Because there's life in the blood. There's life in your blood. You don't believe it? Let me cut you with a knife and let you bleed to death, and I'll show you how much life is in your blood. Let me tell you something else. It says in Leviticus that the blood of a goat or blood of an animal, there's life in it. You shall not take or drink of their blood, because life is in any blood. That's why Jesus had to shed his blood to enter the kingdom of heaven. Come on, guys, wake up. Why do you think they have to embalm people? Oh, they don't do that till the 21st century. I beg your pardon. You don't read your Bible that much, because my Bible tells me when they buried Jacob, they embalmed him. They took the blood out of his body. Let me tell you, my friend, let me give you some good news. See, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, but flesh can. You know why they can? Because there's life in the blood down here, but up there we don't need the blood. Why? Because Jesus is our hope. He is our hope and glory. Let me give you proof of what I'm talking about. You need some evidence, right? I got all the evidence you need. Jason, you hadn't saw God. Jason, you hadn't had these experiences with God. I can give you evidence in his word. Yes, I have. I got the evidence. What's the evidence? We got it right here, the B-I-B-L-E. That's all the evidence you need. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass. Not one tittle, not one try. It will not pass. So what God speaks to me, I confirm it up by his word. Come on. And you'd better not listen to every little spirit you listen to and think it's God, because God is not going to go contrary with his word. I'm sorry, he won't do it. God is not going to tell you something out of the boundaries of his word. He's not going to do it. You know why he can't do it? Because he's holy. Because he's righteous. Because he's a man of his word. Unlike some folks, they're not a man and woman of their words. They'll portray you in 2 minutes. Glory to God. But God said, I'm a man of my word. When I give my word, I give my promise. What? Listen, let me tell you what he told Abraham. Let me go here tonight. I feel the anointing tonight. I'm just going to run with it, guys. I got to obey God. Listen, when he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, because you've been my friend. And why did he call Abraham friend? Because he knew how to rule his house. And Sarah called him Lord. Come on, he had his house in order. Listen, she called him Lord because she respected the authority God gave that man. And that's what's wrong with some of these homes. They don't let a man run the home anymore, and they need to. This Jezebel spirit needs to go. God set a man in a house over a woman for a reason. Come on. Whew, glory to God. He set a man over a woman for a reason. I'll believe that till the day I die. You know why I believe that? Because God, it's not to control you guys. It's to protect you guys. Come on. It wasn't a control issue. It was a protection issue. My God. See, God put Jesus over the church to protect the church, not to control the church, but to protect the church. You got to understand, you always got to have a head if you're going to have a tail. Listen, you can't have all these chiefs going around and not enough Indians. That's what problem is today. We got all kind of chiefs, but we ain't got enough Indians in the camp. Everybody in the history starting their own ministry. I got a ministry called Prophet Bobo. I got a ministry called Prophet Corn Corn. I don't care what kind of ministry you are. Get up under somebody and submit and watch God elevate you. He said the humble shall be exalted and the pride shall be humbled. Listen at this. Jesus come down in his authority that he had. And he humbled himself. Listen what he told Judas. Listen what he told Judas. He said, Judas. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go back. Listen what he told John the Baptist. This is Jesus talking to John the Baptist. He said, John, I got to be baptized by you. He said, oh, heck no, I got to be baptized by you, Jesus. He said, no. Jesus spoke to John. He said, listen, I want you to see how this submission really is right here. I want you to catch this. He said, you got to be baptized. I got to be baptized by you, John. And John said, really? You're the Son of God. He said, no. You got to understand, this is the right thing to do. You take a man that was such authority. You take a man that sit at the right hand of the Father. And he submitted under the authority that God put on the earth. See, and then Jesus turned around and said, listen, guys, I want to tell you something. John's ministry will be known across this nation that his ministry was better than anyone on this earth. You know why it was? Because he made a way for the Lord. He was in submission to the Lord. But the Lord turned around and said, listen, John, I'm going to do the same thing to your ministry because God put your ministry before mine, and I'm going to submit to it. The Son of God submitted to John's ministry. My God, my God. We got these people running around everywhere. They don't want to submit to anyone, no one. And I understand sometimes because some of these Fruit Loop ministries out here, I'm telling you, they're like the Fruit Loop. You understand what I'm saying? They in, they out, they in, they out, they in, they out. They always in, they always out, they always in, they always out. And you know what? They're not faithful to nothing. I understand that. But you got to understand the power of submission. You got to understand the power of servanthood. And that's what Jackie is learning now. Brother Jackie, you learning that, brother. I'm proud of you. And you're learning submission. You know why God's teaching you that, brother? Because you got to learn to be a servant before you be a leader. Why? You got to learn to serve. Jesus said, listen, I've come to wash your guys' feet. Glory to God. And see, that's what the kingdom of God is. It's not about who's head and not who's running things up in heaven, guys. It's who's being the servant the most. And Jesus said, who becomes the least comes the most in the kingdom of God. God, it is, you know what my favorite position in church was? My favorite position was answering the doors and shaking people's hands. I didn't have to be in the spotlight and seen like everybody else wants to be seen. I told God a long time ago, I said, God, I quit this ministry in 2 minutes because I don't really care if I ever get seen. See, I had to sit in a studio here in Blue Ridge and preach to myself for a long time. You know why? Because I had a big head. Glory to God. I had a big head. And God said, son, because you got this big head, I'm trying to humble you. I'm trying to keep you humble because the humble shall be exalted and the pride shall be humbled. Guys, why do we always have to be seen? Why do we always have to be heard? See what I'm saying? See, Jesus come to this world. He didn't always have to have the show light on. Come on. Sometimes the best position in ministries is following. You know why that is? Because you don't have no spotlight on you. You don't have all the attention to you. You have all the attention to the other person. And when that happens is God sees that humility and humbleness in you. And what happens is in due season, he'll exalt you. If you're not careful, the doors are open for you. You won't open the door, but the door will come to you. Glory to God. God said, if you will humble yourself in this season and stay humble, I will lift you up. See, you got to understand. You got to understand something. David did not go after kingship. Watch this. David did not run after kingship. Kingship run after David. My God. Maybe you'll get this next month or today. I don't know. But you got to understand something. David didn't run after kingship. Kingship run after David. And Saul says to David, Saul says, listen, I mean Samuel, not Saul, I'm sorry. Samuel said, God told Samuel, said, see that little boy over there? You see that little boy over there? Nobody's noticing him. Nobody's over there tending sheep. He's over there tending sheep, but nobody's realizing his talent. Nobody's realizing this. See, that's a humility and humble experience that you're going through. And God's teaching you that you don't have to be recognized. I don't know who this is for tonight, but I'm going to preach it anyways. You don't have to be recognized. You don't have to be showed. You don't have to be important. You don't have to be, look at me. I'm over here, Lord. I got all the good gifts. I can prophesy, Lord. Oh, I can speak in tongues, but Lord, let me show you other things I can do. And God's saying, look, I don't care what you got. All I need from you is to humble yourself and be available and just carry on with your life. Quit trying to open doors, but let the doors come to you. See, my problem in ministry years ago is I run through the doors, and God said, son, the more you run to them, they're not from me. See, doors come to me. I don't go to doors. I'm satisfied right here, Sherry. Just where my ministry is right here. I could care less. I could care less. I have such an anointing in this studio. And, you know, if I minister to myself, you know, I've done my job. I don't really care who I preach to. I don't really care. I mean, to me, preaching to one person is like preaching to 1,000. You know, I don't have to have a crowd. All I have to have is a cloud. See, I don't have to have a crowd. I used to have a crowd, but now all I have is a cloud. If I'm preaching to one person, I'm preaching to 1,000,000. And that's what Jesus said. I left the 99 and I went after the one. See, pride and arrogance has to have a crowd. Pride and arrogance has to have show lights. But I tell you what humility has to have. It only has to have one person. It only has to have a Zacchaeus sitting in his house and saying, Lord, I need to sell everything I got. But see, that's what the problem with the church is. We all got to have the spotlight, right? We all got to have a ministry, right? We all got to have this thing called pride in our life because we got to be seen. We got to be heard. We got to be, oh, yeah, we got to know these things, right? But Lord, you don't understand. I got all these gifts that can be shined out there. And God's saying, yeah, I know. But the only thing I don't like about you is called pride. You got to get rid of the pride, son. I understand you got a gift to prophesy. I understand that you can lay hands on the sick. I understand that you can speak to a dead person and they become alive. I understand that. But one thing I need to get rid of you, I need to get rid of some of that pride, because that's the reason why Satan come out of my kingdom, because I gave him all this power. My God, who am I talking to tonight? I can feel the power of God come through me like a stayed and walk. Listen, who am I talking to? You got all these gifts. So did Satan, guys. He had all the power. You know what he did? God, I don't need you. You know what he tried to do? When God started talking, he interrupted him all the time. That's how I know when people got pride. When God gave you somebody to submit to, all you want to do is run that mouth. I know you got pride. Come on. Let me tell you what a humble person does. They sit back and just listen. My God. They just sit back and listen. Jesus come down and he demonstrated how to be humble and how to walk humble. And let me tell you what power he had. He had power to cast out devils. He had power to walk on the sea. He had power to turn water into wine. Come on. He had power to tell Lazarus, come forth. He had the power. But he walked in humility. Ain't that something? He said, you know what? I didn't come to y'all to serve me. I've come to serve y'all. See how humble he was? You see how humble he was? And I bet if Jesus was here today, he wouldn't have to have a spotlight everywhere he went either. Matter of fact, he said, you know what? We got four preachers here tonight. I'll preach last. Y'all preach first. I want to listen to y'all. See how humble he was? See how prideful we are. Honey, years ago in my ministry, I got frustrated. I said, Lord, no doors are opening for me, but I want them to open. I got all these gifts, Lord. He said, I know. He said, I'm not going to open up nothing to you till you get rid of that pride. You say, Jason, we can get rid of pride. Yes, we can. 2 Chronicles tells us, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Listen, there's key parts to this prayer. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you tonight. There's key parts to this prayer. If my people that are called by my name, listen to it, are called by my name, will humble themselves. It takes humility. First, you got to pray. You got to pray. Listen, when you pray, you humble yourself. But listen, you got to humble yourself to pray. And then when you humble yourself, guess what you got to do then? He said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my what? Face. Don't be seeking your ministry. Don't be seeking a husband. Don't be seeking a wife. Seek God's face. Listen, you got to find his face, because when you seek his face, it changes your life. You seek his face, it changes your life. You understand what I'm saying here? You got to seek his face. See, everybody says, well, Jason, Moses couldn't see God's face. Matter of fact, he was up on the mountain, and God put him on the cleft of the hill, and he said, Moses, you're not going to see my face, but you can see my back parts. My God. But he said, son, I'm going to send a son, and he's going to die on a cross, and then I'll turn around and look at you. My God. Listen, you can see God's face now. You can see God's face and live. People, where are we at? We're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the new. Remember, behold, all things become new. You can see God's face. And I promise you, you ever see his face, it'll change your life. Listen, God will look right through your soul. He knows every thought you ever think, every abomination, every imagination. Listen, he knows how to do exceedingly and abundantly above you can think. When you walk in this realm, all you got to do is thank it. You don't even got to pray it, baby. All you got to do is thank it. You know why? How I got that Harley out there? I just thought it. I didn't pray for that Harley. I just thought it. When I thought it, it come to pass. Why? Because Jesus said there's power. Listen, watch this. He said he'll do exceedingly abundantly and above what you can ask or think. See, God knows what you think before you think it. And God said, in this season, if you'll just think it, I'll do it. My God, maybe you'll catch that later. Guys, Jesus said, let this mind so be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We got to get our thinking the way God thinks. Told this lady well ago. She was on the phone. She said, Jason, pray for me. I'm in the hospital. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every sick spirit in her body right now be healed. In the name of Jesus, I command it to leave her now. That sister told me, she said, my God, Jason, oh, when you prayed that, I felt all that stuff go away from my body, my God. And I said, sister, just give him praise. She said, I know, I told my doctor, I just prayed for her before I come on here. I said, Lord, out of the command of your people, spirits have to listen. And my bishop was in a church one time, David E. Taylor. He was in a church one time. He was preaching and a lady come died in his service. Watch this. Come died in his service. I mean, literally died. They got this on tape. Died. Her daughter was screaming, my mama's dead. God said, stop the service, David E. Taylor. Go back there and breathe on her. And he did so. And the lady got up and she was dead for almost probably about 10 minutes. The paramedics and David, they kept getting in front of David E. Taylor and said, excuse me, but this is my service. Please move. And all of a sudden he breathed the breath of life on her just like God did to Adam when he breathed in his nostrils. He did the same to that woman. And that woman was dead. Her heartbeat was stopped 10 minutes. And her heartbeat started beating again. And she come up and the paramedics fell back. And they just stand and glazed and think, how in the world did this woman come back to life? It's God. See, we have the evidence. We have evidence right here. If Jesus said, I can do it, so can you. Guys, let me tell you something. Never let sickness, never let death impart your services. I'm telling you. And I told Donna a while ago, I said, Donna, I command that spirit of sickness to leave your body right now. It was gone that quick. Faith. Faith, guys, faith. Where will I find faith when I come back? You see, Abraham was right with God because of his faith. He believed God. When God told him something, he said, well, I'm going to have Isaac. I believe it. 40 years later, he has Isaac. Come on. And let me tell you what else made him right with God. I'm fixing to give you the ball kicker. Y'all ready? Are you ready tonight? I'm fixing to give you the ice cream on the cake. My God. The reason why Abraham was so close to God, God tested him. And God will always test you of your relationship with him. He will. He gave his only begotten son. You know what? God will test you to see if you love your children more than him. Come on. He will test you. My God, he will test you. He'll test and see if you love your spouse more than him. He'll test you to see if you love ministry but more than him. Come on now. Come on. Some of you in love with ministry more than you are him. Come on. He'll test you. He tested Abraham, and Abraham took Isaac up We know the story. He took his son up and said, Lord, I know this is my only son you ever gave me, but I don't love him more than I love you. My God, we have failed this test so many times. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. People say they love God. Oh, Lord, I love you. I'll follow you to the end of the earth. Yeah, okay, we'll see. We'll see. Times to come to ministry, you run towards family instead of what God's telling you to do. Come on. How many times are you going to fail this test? Listen, it's a test to see if you love God. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know how people get levels with God? I'm going to tell you something, and I'll stop right here, guys. In the kingdom of God, there's authority. Jesus is over us because his love was demonstrated and he passed the test. What am I saying here? Okay. We have people over people in the Lord, and I'm going to tell you why. You wonder why people are at different levels in the Lord, because people have different love for God. See, let me tell you something. It's not how long you've been in ministry. I've been in ministry 50 years, Jason. That's not true. I know. I've been to Bible college and Bible did this. Blah, blah, blah. See, that don't make you authority, because see, God have mercy who he wants to have mercy on, and he'll have grace who he wants to have grace on. You can't tell God who to pick. See, if that's the case, then he never would have picked David, because he wasn't even qualified. But see, David had a heart. My God. See, David was going to love him with all his heart. See, David was going to run after him like a deer panteth after the water. See, God sees the love. Come on, somebody. That's why we are in positions that you're not, because our love and our heart is different than yours. God has tested my heart and tried my heart, just like David said, try me, Lord, test me, Lord, see if there be anything inside of me, Lord. See, David knew it. And that's why David was king. You want to understand why some people got favor with God and some people don't? Because some people have more love for God and some people have less love. And I'm going to tell you why they do. Because some people can't give up some things. And the rich young ruler come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I come follow you. He said, well, good. Go sell everything you got and follow me. He could not do it because he loved the thing more than God. My God. See, you got to get to a point in your life where you love God with everything you got. You'll give up family. You'll give up children. You'll give up everything in your life for the gospel's sake. See, you'll give your body to be burned. I don't care, God. I'm going to love you and I'm going to show you. Test me, Lord. Try me, Lord. And I'll show you I love you more than all. Now, you want to know why the anointing's on my life more than yours? Because my love has been tested. Sherry, people don't understand my ministry. They think I'm some blow by night, preach by day. But let me tell you something. I've been established in the Lord for many years, but I've been established in him. I've not been established in your congregation or your denomination. I've been established in his denomination. I've been established in his relationship. I've been established in the kingdom for a while. I'm not a snow by night, flow by day. I'm a prophet of the Lord that's coming into the scene pretty soon. God's been building me for many years. I don't have to have your credentials. I don't have to have your theologies. I don't have to go to your schools to get open doors. All I have to do is be in training and let God test my heart and let God try my heart and let God try me and let God test me and let God see. I'm going to see how much he loves me, because if I can get him to love me like David, I can get him in a church and he won't compromise. Come on, somebody. He won't compromise. He won't compromise over money. You can't get me with money either, because I don't love money. I didn't do it for money. I didn't start out for money. So therefore, you can keep your money and shove it up your hind ends. Come on. I don't preach for money. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you to give in 2 minutes. You know why? Because you need to give. You need to be blessed. It's better to give than receive. You need to be a tither because it breaks the curse off of your life. You need these things. I'll teach you them things. But you think 1 minute I'm going to lick your tail over $10? You're wrong. Keep your money. Not going to do it. I'm here to please God. I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to please man. I'll rebuke you when you need rebuke. I'll reprove you when you need reproof. And I'll exhort you when you need to be exhorted. If you don't like that, take it to the bank, hit the door. Don't let the good Lord split you with the good Lord hit you. That's just the way I am. Why? Because I don't love you. I love God. And it shows. These preachers out here, these pastors, I'm going to say it. I don't care if you hear this on a podcast later or on my radio. It really don't matter to me. But I'm going to tell you, you ain't nothing but a spineless, pigback, coward of a pastor to sit and put up with such things in your ministry. I'm telling you, you're a coward. And don't tell me you love God because you've loved that congregation more than you have God. God's put that convocation over you to guide them, instruct them, rebuke, exhort. Listen, I'm not talking about somebody that's going to rebuke everybody all the time. I'm not talking about that. There's come time when you exhort, but there's a time that you reprove and rebuke. Come on. And quit walking on your tiptoes, licking booty all day long because they pay tithes in your church. I could give a rip. Take your money and get out of here. But if you want to give, give. I want to see you blessed, but you're robbing yourself. You're not robbing me. People come to my ministry all the time, want me to lick their tail. I'm not going to lick your tail. And when I rebuke you, you're going to know it. Ask Jackie. You're going to know it. Because I'm going to give on you like, and it's going to hurt your little feeling. It's your flesh is going to jump out of your bones and get so mad at me. Well, he just made me mad. Good. I like making people mad. So does Jesus. He turned the tables over. He went and told the Pharisees, you're nothing but hypocrites. Don't you think that made them mad? You're nothing but snakes and vipers. What if I called you a snake and viper? What if I looked at you like he looked at Peter and he said, Satan, thou get behind me. What if I called you Satan? Well, I bet you'd go whine about that too, huh? Guys, the closer I get to God, the bolder I get. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't no light stuff either because I don't put up with crap. I'm telling you, I don't care if I have to preach to myself for no more. I don't really care because I'm not going to compromise no more. I'm not gonna walk on tippy toes around you no more. I'm going to tell you what, thus saith the Lord, if you want your toes stepped on, come here. But don't tell me you want your toes stepped on when you're trying to dictate my ministry. And I'll tell you something, it hurts your feelings. You know what? I was telling somebody this the other day, and we don't see this in ministry no more. See, and some people come to your ministry, if they don't let them talk and all this stuff, you don't let them do stuff, they go down the road. You know what? Going down the road because I don't really care. You're going to learn to submit or get out. You're going to learn to submit or get out because I don't need you. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand, I don't need you. All I need is God. All I need is the crowd. I don't need the crowd. I need the cloud. That's all I need. But making a long story short, about the end, guys, I'm going to say this in the end. I was at a ministry years and years ago, and I was telling God yesterday, I said, God, I miss the days where you go into church and you see people snobbing, you see people flying out with a hair bows and people weeping so hard at the altar. And I said, God, where is them days gone? Where's the days gone where we're convicted over things, God? Where's the days gone where we weep in ashes? And Lord, where's the days gone when we just can't get up out of the tent and when we can't get up out of the floor and say, Lord, I failed you, God. Lord, I failed you somewhere. God, I don't know where, but I failed you. Where's them days, guys? Where's the days with the Kleenex? The pastor had to buy 20 boxes of Kleenex and they all got rid of after the first service. Where'd that day go? Where did the altar go? I don't even see altars in churches anymore. Where did the day go where we snobbed and wept? And I used to see these women at the altar. They'd get up with their eyes just blood red. They've been crying so hard. Felt bad the way they've been living. They've been disobedient to God. What happened to these days, guys? What happened to the day we don't get off the altar and say, God, if there's anything inside of me, if there's any denial, God, if there's anything that's displeasing with you, God, if there's anything, would you do me a favor, God? Would you take it out? Would you take it out? We don't see that anymore. All we see in church is people's got to, oh, Pastor, will you let me have the mic? No, I need you to go sit down. Pastor, I got a word. Is that, no, I need you to go sit down. See, what we have today is everybody wants the mic, but nobody wants to follow. They're sowing teas to get out here and to be showed, but nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to be heard, but nobody wants to listen. See, Jesus was humble. He said, learn from me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly. I don't need a showboat. I don't need an ear. All I need is an ear to listen. Guys, when are we going to humble ourselves? When are we going to stop walking around in this pride and want everything our way and want to do stuff our way? And when are we going to stop? When are we going to stop? We don't have nobody to really be under. And you know how I know when God has put somebody over me? Every time I listen to him, it's like it hits me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that David E. Taylor was my spiritual father in the Lord. I knew it. I knew it the first day when he started speaking to me, because no man could give me what he gave me. You got to understand, he gave me something that no other man could have gave me. It's showing me my relationship that I had with God for the foundations of the world. You understand that you was with God before this foundation. You know, you're a billion years old. You're old, people. God, you was in God's mind before he created this earth, because you're billions of years old. I bet you didn't know that. And it just amazes me how much I've learned till I sit under my spiritual father. And you know, Sherry, it really... It excites me that I can sit down and listen to someone besides myself. That's humility. I don't need to be heard. I need to do more listening than I do talking. Because in your listening, that's where you learn the most. That's why the Bible says, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. See, God don't talk much as us. We talk too much. God listens. Because in your listening, you learn a lot. I can learn a lot by a person by listening to them. But faith, that's what we need, is faith. Faith, faith, and more faith. All right, guys, my time is up on here. Thank you guys for listening. That's all I have. I felt the Holy Ghost just live. Hey, when he goes, I go. You know what I'm saying? I don't have nothing else. But we was talking about faith tonight, and that's what we need, is faith. Faith. Where will I find faith when I come back? Where would I find faith? We have evidence, guys. We have the evidence. And that's all I have tonight for you guys. Remember the miracle water, guys. We have miracle water. You can go on our YouTube channel at the Kingdom TV. Sorry. We'll have more videos on there of our motorcycle ministry. We also have, let's see. Yeah, we have a brochure. And guys, sign up for our email list, please. Penny sends out an email list one time a week on there. I think it's that news.com, GodSaveMinistry.com, Welcome to the Kingdom. You can sign up there. You can also give at GodSaveMinistries.com/partnership. You can also give there. But the news.GodSaveMinistries.com/Welcome to the Kingdom. You can sign up there. It goes to our email list. You put in your address, whatever. We'll send you out a miracle water. We have seen miracles with this miracle water already, guys. We have seen miracles. And God spoke to me. He said, son, send them out. And the minute that water touches people, it's going to heal them. It's going to create miracles that they've never seen in their lives. And I believe God, let me tell you something. I will say this before I end tonight, guys. When I was down in Destin, we went on vacation this year, me and Penny. When I was down in Destin, God showed me the water. And you got to understand, God hovered upon the water in Genesis. He hovered upon it. And when he hovered upon it, I said, God, why did you hover upon the water? And he said, son, I also hovered upon the water in the pool of Siloam. And the angels troubled the water. The Bible said the angels troubled the water. And whoever walked in that water got healed. And God spoke to me. He said, I want you to take this little water and I want you to send it to their house. And when you send it to their house, I want them to pour it wherever I tell them to pour it. And I'm going to heal it. Whether it's on their body, their pocketbook, it does not matter. I'm telling you, God is upon the water. And I'm telling you, God's going to use this water to heal people. My God. And it's a point of contact. So if you want some of that, like I say, fill that form out. Let us get your address. We'll be able to ship that out to you, a postcard with it, and miracle water. Don't forget that either, guys. Also, if you have anybody in your families or know anybody that rides a motorcycle that wants to ride with us, we have our patches here that goes on back of leather jackets. We are ministering to motorcycle people, and we're going to be doing cookouts and stuff like that. So y'all keep us in prayer. We're going to be doing, that's our outreach. It's not a motorcycle ministry. It's an outreach of God Saving Ministries. And that's why we're starting this up. And we've already got some riders wanting to go ride with us. So, and we're going to hold up tent revivals. We'll have cookouts, singings, preaching outdoors. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff with this motorcycle ministry, so y'all keep us in your prayers. We also got stickers if you know somebody that wants to ride with us. But anyways, that's all I have tonight, guys. God bless y'all. Thank y'all all for coming on here tonight. God bless y'all. Listen, won't y'all have a good weekend? Will you do that for me? Have a good weekend. And most of all, spend time with him, okay? All right, God bless y'all. Good night.